This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. We apologize for having to move this interview to tonight, but we're glad to do one final interview with a candidate for office in tomorrow's primary election. You may remember the name Bill Faywell. He ran in the 17th Congressional District against incumbent Sherry Bustos 2 years ago, and now he's running against fellow Republican Esther Joy King, whom we've talked to previously in tomorrow's primary. And Bill Faywell is on the line right now. Bill, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Will. Thanks. I appreciate you getting me on.
Absolutely. Let's start first at the beginning here. For those who may not remember you from 2 years ago, talk a little bit about yourself and why you're running again.
Well, my message is the same, and the reason I'm running is the same reason I ran before, and that is because I saw the country moving to a disaster. Now we're seeing it. COVID disaster is just the wind that came around that blew down the house of cards that's been built over the last 50 years. And people might not recall, but last time I was pushing term limits, an audit of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is called the Federal Reserve Transparency Act, which is passed out 3 times, and along with that, what's called the RAINS Act, to start pulling back the powers of all these federal agencies, their lawmaking powers, and giving them back to Congress. Is those 3 bills, if we pass them, before I called it liberty legislation, now I call it let the people rule, because if you pass those 3 bills, the system that has allowed America to get like it is, the mess we've got today, wouldn't even exist. And you pass these 3 bills and solves all problems, whether it's health care, endless war, problems like CDC created for us here, and coronavirus. These 3 bills are so important, because what's happened is that the people no longer rule the government, and that is how our Constitution is set up. Instead, today, the government rules the people. And this has happened because all the powers of Congress, Article 1, Section 8, have been slowly transferred in an accelerated basis over the last 50 years. And all these powers have been given to all these federal agencies. And you've heard of Sam's Club, haven't you, Will?
Yes.
Well, this is called Uncle Sam's Club, and if you're a billionaire, you can go have the best laws money can buy. And that's what's happened. And they make all 90% of the laws that we live under behind closed doors in all these federal agencies instead of in the public forum and the Congress, where everyone should be able to see it and comment on it. And consequently, that's why nobody likes Congress. It's not a surprise, because it just made Congress into a bunch of, you know, grocery clerks, pretty much. And so we have all these problems. The market wouldn't be down like it is now, and we wouldn't have this economic turmoil if it wasn't all pre-set up by Federal Reserve policy, monetary policy over these past 50 years. You know, really, all this politics is, it's a facade, a screen for monetary policy. I mean, look at health care. Look how much we spend. That's all done in politics, all through government. I picked that up because that's near and dear to everyone's heart and mind, because health care keeps coming up, especially with coronavirus now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's very worried. But you look at how prices have skyrocketed. You know, and they passed Obamacare, it was 1,250 pages, right? Congress passed that.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't understand, when Nancy Pelosi said, well, we have to pass it to see what's in it, it didn't make sense. Unless you understand that Obamacare required that the next 12,000 pages of laws in Obamacare are going to be written by Health and Human Services with the help of lobbyists that were all hired by the billionaires. So it's kind of like a microcosm of what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, Bill. It sounds like some of what the president has tried to talk about doing, at least when he campaigned 4 years ago. Is this not similar to that?
Very similar. What he wants is talked about is that making the hospitals and everyone put what their prices are out there instead of hiding them. So it's one way to do it, but it's kind of like a Band-Aid. You cannot change the way things are in America today, and things are going to change until you change the system. And we have two choices. We can either take the system of more federal government trying to do more things, putting more Band-Aids on a non-functioning system, or we can get rid of that system and replace it with something else. And I'm not talking about replacing. I'm talking about going back and restoring our Congress and our Constitution. It was set up to work where the people rule the government by allowing the people's Congress. You know, Congress is the people's place in our government. And if that Congress hasn't got any power, neither do the people. And that's what's happened. You know, people talk about, you know, when Obama was president, they said, oh, he's got too much power. Now Trump's president, they say, oh, Trump has too much power. Well, you know what? They're both right, because all these powers of Congress are now in the executive branch in all these federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress has been kind of walled off. So their Congress is walking around doing everyone else's work, everyone else's job. And nothing's getting done. The country's in a disaster. Stock market has gotten clobbered worse than it did in 1929. And there's a reason for that. It's because you have an inherently bad system. And the only way to change that is to get back to restore it the way it is supposed to. And that's what I'm all about. Now, also in this district, you know, farming is hugely important.
I was just going to ask you about that. You have some similar legislation that you say would help farmers better than what's already been done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time they go to farmers, they say, we're going to give you a couple billion here, a couple billion there. You know? And no one can ever plan on it and understand what's going on. So what I propose is what I call the Flyover America Act. And it's two parts to it. The first part is restore the National Grain Reserve that they got rid of in 1972, which, interesting, right after they got rid of the gold standard with Nixon shock. But what I propose is that we reestablish this grain reserve. That should, I think, bring prices up about $1 a bushel of corn and beans, which would be huge, because we've been stuck sideways since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing the farmer. It would provide some basis, soak up a lot of this extra grain. And the other part of that is that all the grain would have to be stored on elevators, their storage bins, on owner-occupied farms or farm co-ops. If not, you're going to see big money and big landowners that aren't farmers, that don't live around here, that live in big cities, take over the entire program. And then when the government wants to come and raid the grain reserves, they'll do it instead of having to go through the farmers. The other part of that is what I call the Volunteer Fire Department Restoration Act, and that is if you live in rural America, you know your volunteer fire department is having a hard time. We see it readily in EMT services. And if we had to go and make our volunteer fire department professional, it would cost the country $100 billion. Right now, they can't get volunteers because the monetary system is angled up to build this huge bubble wealth in the stock market that we're seeing just crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I propose is that every volunteer fire department would get 30 spots, and they would provide health insurance for not only the volunteer, but their entire family, and a $5,000 a year stipend, pension, if you will, that they start collecting when they're 65, for each year that they serve. Now, there's a reason why I've combined these two pieces of legislation, because this is how you get legislation through Congress. If we just went with the grain reserves, it doesn't cover enough Congress and enough geographic area of the United States. It'd be a battle to try and get that the votes to get that through, but it should get through. And its wisdom is biblical in nature. But if you expand it and you start including all your volunteer fire departments, you're going to hit 95% of the landmass of America. And you're going to get the overwhelming number of not only congressmen, but United States senators, and you're going to get this bill through. Then we can at least give farmers something solid, something they can rely on, something that they know is going to be there, instead of, oh, things got really bad, and we're going to bail you out. Well, the farmer didn't see this coming. Maybe he got rid of some crops, some of what he's carried over, and not knowing. All of a sudden, it pops the market or whatever. It takes uncertainty out of the market. You've got to take uncertainty out of this market for the farmer. And this is a vast departure, not only from the policy of Sherry Bustos, who, if you read what she's talking about, starting to talk about the new Green Deal for farming, which has a buzzword, and it's called environmental or ecological farming. You're starting to hear that same thing from my opponent, Esther King, and they're climate changers. People don't understand that Esther is an attorney from Chicago that they just brought out here this August. They don't understand because the party doesn't want anyone to know that she's also a member of the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations. And their two big objectives, they spend $15 million a year. Their two big objectives are liberalizing immigration, which is all you hear from Esther, and Green New Deal and climate change legislation. And they're going to start applying it to farmers. And if the farming community lets down their guard and goes with either of these two ladies, they are going to find that the government's going to come in. They're going to start telling them how to farm. And it goes as far as Sherry's even talked about, it includes running some kind of CO2 gas pipeline through the farming areas to collect carbon dioxide, which is absolute madness. You know, that's what the plants need to grow. They need carbon dioxide.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bill. I'm short on time. Yeah. I had a couple of questions I actually wanted to ask you here.
Yeah.
First, a couple of years ago when you ran, the Illinois Republican Party backed off of its support of you, citing some of what you wrote and what was online about who you believe was behind the 9/11 attacks. Do you have any of their support now? And two, do you still stand by what you wrote 3 and 4 years ago?
Well, first off, what I wrote probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago was taken completely out of context. You got to remember where this information came from. This came from Media Matters, and Media Matters has this thing called Share Blue, and they come out with it on Monday, and they'll have 15 other liberal wireless or internet publications come out and say the same thing the next day. They've been using it against President Trump the whole time. When they first did it to me, it was kind of a new thing. And all I really put out there on my Facebook account, I would take an article that says something, I would kind of condense it and put it out there for people because I want people to think critically. So, you know who's behind Media Matters? George Soros, who everyone knows, and a guy named David Brock, who is Hillary's chief propagandist in 2016. They put together Media Matters in the Share Blue program. Well, the reason the Republicans grabbed it right away is because they hate me, because I'm for term limits, and they don't like term limits. So they've made this giant mountain out of a molehill, because if it's on the Internet, it must be true, right? And they have all these ulterior motives. That's why they brought Esther King out from Chicago, because she's bought and paid for. She's a member of the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations.
She says she's a resident of East Moline.
Pardon?
She says she's a resident of East Moline.
Since August.
Does it matter?
Yeah. I've lived here in the district for 22 years. Do you think she gives two hoots about this district? She's out there pushing the liberal immigration and basically a new Green Deal for farming. She really doesn't say that. She says she's for she's pro-life. But in our debate down in Peoria, League of Women Voters says, would you vote against Roe v. Wade and end illegal or make abortion illegal if you could? Yes or no? I said yes. She waited a minute. And they repeated the question to her, yes or no. Finally, she says, well, I believe it eventually. Well, what the hell is eventually, Will? Yeah, she's not pro-life. She's not pro-gun. You know, this summer I picked up the phone and I talked to Esther. We had a June 19th. We talked for about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with her the importance and the critical need in America for term limits to be passed, for an audit of the Federal Reserve Bank, and the RAINS Act. And I said, Esther, if you'll make these part of your campaign, I don't have to run. I'll support you. You know what she told me? She told me, well, I probably can't do that because the party's backing me, and I have to do what they tell me to do. Well, I asked her to think about it and get back to me, and she did. She texted me back. She never denied this conversation took place mm-hmm. until last week in our interview, the debate in Rock Island. And then she really didn't, counter it. But I have a text from her saying, I can't support your program. She's a complete sellout. She sold out to the Republican Party here in Illinois that gave over $100,000 that are against me based on something that George Soros and David Brock put out because they wanted to slaughter me. Now, what have I got to say that's so dangerous that Soros and Brock would come out and go national on me, and then the Republican Party would turn on me?
Why continue? I'm curious to know, why continue to run as a Republican if you're so seemingly at odds with the party itself?
Because I'm not at odds with all the Republicans that are out throughout the district and throughout Illinois and throughout the country.
Okay.
It's the Republican Party in Illinois that's completely out of touch with the people. I mean, if anybody thinks that the corruption in Illinois is only a Democratic thing, well, I can take you down the list. There are so many. I mean, it's public knowledge. All the Republican leaders that have their hand in the till right alongside the Democrats. It is so corrupt in this state. And that's why I'm running. When I talked to Esther, I said, you know, Esther, I said, I know the people that are backing you. I said, and they're corrupt, and they're going to make you corrupt. And they have.
All right.
She's out there talking about half-truths, you know, says she's pro-life. She's not. Says she's for guns. She's not. She says she's for the president. She's not. She definitely doesn't support term limits. Absolutely has nothing to do with an audit of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Esther Joy King is a member of the National Guard Reserves. How can she be against guns if she serves in the military?
She's a lawyer. She's a JAG officer. She says she's a good shot. She doesn't own a gun. She's never going to pick up a gun in battle. Yeah, she doesn't have to. She picks up a pen. Yeah. Well, she's a member of the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations.
Have you been in the military? Have you picked up a gun?
Have I picked up a gun? Not in the military. I'm 65. If they had drafted me, I'd have gone.
Okay.
They didn't draft me. It was all over then. They really weren't taking anybody. There was no big need. I was at that tail end. You know, that's another thing.
Bill, I hate to interrupt you, but I literally have 1 minute left. So give me 1 minute one more time as to why voters should pick you tomorrow.
Well, I was just getting to that. Well, you know, I might be an old, fat, bald guy with a beard, but with that comes wisdom and understanding. I understand where America is right now, what's happening in the markets, and I have a solution for it. I want to take us back to the Constitution. That's our only way out of this, Will.
Mm-hmm.
And my opponent absolutely is sold out and has absolutely no intention of ever embracing the Constitution. She wants to embrace the current government. And it's wrong. It's not going to work. People can do what they want, but that's not going to change. This country has got some real problems. And unless we get serious about it, and who we send to Congress knows what they're doing when they get there. You know, it's not the place to go for training. If you go to Congress, you better have a real good idea what's going on, what you need to do, and what has to be done. I'm the only candidate in this race that has an inkling of that.
All right.
That's why I'm running.
All right. I'm out of time, Bill. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we gave you quite a bit of time there. And
I appreciate it.
I neglected to mention at the beginning you're a resident of the Galena area of the 17th District, in case
over 20 years.
In case folks wanted to know that. Thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Will. God bless.
Stay tuned. More Galesburg's Evening News next on WGIL.